Welcome to Heralding the Truth, radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sidney, Ohio. Here at Russell Road, our vision is to build a people who are establishing God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is today's message.
Hello, I'm Pastor Fred Gillenwater. Glad you tuned in live stream. Glad you're with us today. We've been talking about Advent and the love of God, and last week we talked about enduring, right? And endurance is something that is a part of the agape love of God. Remember, there's five loves in the Bible. Philia is brotherly love. You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. Eros love is sexual love between a husband and wife. Then there's storge, which is family love. And then there is thermos, which is passionate. So passion, it's like thermos is where we get the word thermos. It keeps warm and cold. So the idea is those four loves are all based on emotions. But agape is unconditional. Unconditional. It's supernatural. And it's superior to all those other four. Those other four are inferior. God has created you and me all the way back to the garden for the agape love. Amen. And so that's what we're trying to do. We're trying to get back to the original. If you study the Bible, you have the word restore, back to, prefix re, back to, restore. Restore means to the original condition. He restores my soul. He redeems me. Redeem. What God sees the most important, redemption. What He deems most important, back to, deem what He sees the most. Repent, back to, pent, taken from the highest level, pentacle. The highest standard of life can only be taken through repentance. You can only get to the highest standard of life through repentance. Back to repentance. And we want to look at this agape love and what God has created us for. And so we're going to look at this today. And the what we're going to look at today is joy. And joy is the fruit of agape love. It's one of the fruit of agape love. So joy only comes from agape love. It's not going to come from the rest of them. It has to be the agape, the unconditional, the supernatural. See, that's the way God designed us. So this is going to help you if you pay attention, remember? We want to pay attention, because if we pay attention now, it's going to help us later. But if we don't pay attention now, it's going to cost you more later, because you didn't pay attention. Your time is everything. Where are you investing your time? You got to watch how you invest your time, because time is limited. Amen? We want to use our time wisely. We can know the will of God, the Bible says. Okay, so we're going to look at our scripture after we read the vision. And this is our vision of the house. To build a people who are established in God's word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Okay, so that's what we've been talking about. So the idea is, this fruit is only produced from love. The word love there is the agape. So this is what we want to grow in. We want to understand. When it says in Proverbs 2, Understanding will keep you and deliver you from the evil way. So that's the idea. We want to increase our understanding. That's why you go to church. That's why you grow. That's why you have a Bible. That's why you study. To pay attention. Because you, when you catch it, it's really going to help you. All right. So, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. So, remember last week we talked about we are like signposts. The word signpost is a way marker. Remember sailors, when they would take off and they would have a destiny, they had way markers. It would be a mountain. It would be like a set of an island or palm trees or some type of a marker to help them to get to their destiny. Well, the Bible says, or Isaiah said, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every mountain and every hill shall be brought low. Every valley will be exalted. For the glory of the Lord will be revealed. The word glory means what God originated and intended. All those three words, back to what he originated and intended. We are way markers. People ought to see our life and say, that's how to live. That's the way. Jesus said, I am the way. So we are way markers. We ought to point people to his way so they can reach their destiny. Are you catching that? So this is an idea. So joy is a way marker. And I'm going to tell you something. Joy is something I'm really sensitive to. Joy is the kingdom. The Bible says in the kingdom of God in Romans 14:17 is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. Not in your house, not in your bank account, not in your career, in the Holy Spirit. So that's where joy is. And God has given us joy, a supernatural joy, to govern our emotions. We're going to look at this idea of the fruit of the agape love. Now, I want to go over this idea of fruit. The word fruit is the word karpos, K-A-R-P-O-S. And it describes the fruit of plants, the fruit of trees, the fruit of one's body, such as children or offspring. Regardless of whether it is a plant, an animal, or a human, all fruit is produced from some kind of seed. If there is no seed, there is no fruit. And the kind of seed that is sown determines the fruit that will be produced. Apples always produce apples. Apple trees don't eat their own apples. So the fruit is for what? Other people. Apple trees always produce apples. Oranges always produce oranges. Dogs always produce dogs. Cats always produce cats. Humans always produce humans. The character of the seed determines the fruit. God uses agriculture to describe his kingdom. He said the kingdom of God is like a seed when it's planted. You see that? And it grows. So he uses agriculture to help us understand how the kingdom functions. The kingdom is where Jesus is ruling. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. That's the kingdom. Now watch. The moment you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior by faith, if you have, not everybody has, but if you have, if you're a child of God, everybody is God's creation. Everybody. But you only become a child when you're born into God's family. See, you're either a child of God or a child of the devil, Satan, first Adam. So now think about this. That's why Jesus told the religious folks, He said, you're of your father, the devil. And the desires of your father you want to do. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources. So if you're not a child of God, you're a child of, I know we don't like hearing that, but you have to be born again. That's why he says in John 1:12, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. Even to those who believe on his name, who were born not of the will of the flesh, nor of the blood, but of God. And God is the Spirit. Born of God, spiritually. Amen. See that? That's how you become a child of God. Now think about this. The moment you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, God sowed his Spirit and Word into your heart like a seed. And you were spiritually born again by the incorruptible seed of the Word of God. You see, the Word of God is incorruptible. You cannot destroy it. You cannot corrupt it. It produces eternal. Did you hear that? It's incorruptible. It produces what lasts forever. I want some of that. How about you? It says in 1 Peter 1:23, we've been born again, not of a corruptible seed, but an incorruptible seed through the Word of God, which lives and abides forever. Because the flesh is as the grass, and the glory of man is as the flower of the grass. For the grass withers and the flower fades away, but the word of the Lord will endure forever. Amen. The Bible says heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will endure forever. Now watch. This principle holds true in the spiritual realm. To get what you want, you have to plant the right seed, because seed always produces fruit after its kind. Do you want to walk in the cruel, hard, bitter works of the flesh? Or would you prefer to mortify the deeds of the flesh and allow the Holy Spirit to produce his wonderful fruit in you? Which way are you going to choose? You see, there's more to Christianity than being good morals. God wants you to emotionally be stable. That's what joy does. It brings stability in your life emotionally. You see that? When you have God's joy, you communicate to the world. You're stable. Because joy is for the most difficult times you're in. When you're in adversity and you're going through a difficult time, that's when joy increases. See? It's supernatural. It's above the natural. And that's what we're to express to the world. In Luke chapter 2, an angel declared, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. You and I are to be carriers of that joy now until Jesus comes back.
Yes.
You see that? Oh, that gets me excited. When you have this joy, it shows in your life. Doesn't mean you're not going to go through anything, but it's going to help you as you do go through something. I want to be a way marker. How about you? In 1 Thessalonians 1:6, it says, you are followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Spirit. You see that? They were experiencing a lot of persecution and a lot of difficulty just trying to be believers and proclaim the gospel in Thessalonica. We've been studying that on Wednesday nights. We know, we've been talking about knowing your election. When you know your election was established before you were even born. God knew you before you were even born. He knew you, he formed you, he ordained you, and he sanctified you. He had your election all figured out. When you don't know your election, you are primed for infection from rejection. That's how it is. Well, they hurt me. You don't know your election, because you don't get hurt. when you know your election. People are going to betray you. They were going to betray Jesus. What? The one who betrayed Jesus, Judas, he says, go on and do what you have to do, but do it quickly. Because what you're going to do to me ain't going to keep me from my mission. I'm going to stay true to what God has put me on this earth for. Did you get that? That's the way it is when you understand your election. But if you don't understand it, you're going to get hurt by people. That's why people walk away from church. That's why people get discouraged. But you see, you're not tapping into your joy. And this is what I'm trying to help us understand and see. God has given us this joy to govern our emotions. And not our feelings governing us. Our emotions need to be governed by Him. And He gives us joy to do it with. Now watch this. Joy, this word joy, it's what God has given us in the Holy Spirit supernaturally. It's a divine joy. It's a divine joy. It's not on the same level as happiness. Happiness is based on circumstantial pleasure, merriment, or exuberance, or excitement. That's what happiness is based on. Joy is unaffected by outward circumstances. In fact, it usually thrives best when things get difficult and tough. Oh, don't we need some joy? It is God's supernatural response to the devil's attacks. The devil uses people to attack us. People are never your problem. The Bible says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and against the rulers of the darkness of this age. So people are never your problem. If that person is coming at you and just feel like they're trying to make it difficult for you, you know what you can do? You can give them some love. And you can keep your joy. And you can have grace for them that will help them. I've been in grace and I've been in this joy, and this person is just trying to get me upset. I'm not going to let anything get my joy. Pay attention. The Greek word for joy, listen to me, is the word chara. It's where we get the word charis, which is grace. So when I have joy, I have grace. Where does joy come from? Comes from God. So if you're sowing seeds, you want to sow you some joy. Because that's what it's going to produce, right? What produces joy? Seed. Think about this. Grace. Unmerited favor. It talks about this in Titus chapter 2, 11. He says, the grace of God that brings salvation has been given to us to teach us that denying ungodliness, we should live soberly and righteously in this present age. Soberly, that's not just talking about alcohol. That's talking about your well-being. It means not intoxicated. You're not intoxicated by what someone else has said about you. You're not intoxicated by all this negativity that someone's trying to put in your life or what somebody put in your childhood. Your past. You can't hang around as a victim in your past. Amen. Right. You see that? Grace delivers you. It saves you. The grace of God that brings salvation has been given to us to teach us. So when you have that grace, joy, it has power on it to deliver you from that negativity, from that child abuse, from that verbal abuse, from that abandonment. Are you hearing me today? Are you catching this? Grace. Power. It's working in you. I remember I was going through a difficult time years ago. Very difficult. And I woke up and the Holy Spirit said, I'm giving you the fruit of your thoughts. Jeremiah 6:19, he says, I will give you the fruit of your thoughts. thoughts. Where does fruit come from? Seed. So I stopped that. I'm going to tell you something. If you get what I'm helping you understand today, I guarantee you, your life is going to change. Things are going to change. See that? You got to choose that. You got to be thoughtful and mindful. Now, this is going to help you. This means joy isn't human-based happiness. It only comes from God. Because joy, grace, is divine in origin. A fruit of the Spirit that is manifested particularly for hard and difficult times. God watches over his word, and he's always ready to perform it. It says in Jeremiah chapter 1, and the word that he's promised you, anything that tries to violate it or take it from you, he removes it and brings it to pass in your life. Did you catch that? He's ready to perform it. Make it happen. He will make it happen. Get that negative dialogue out of your head. Get your mind on him and watch him move in your life. Jesus said, if his promises are conditional. He says, if, John 8:31, if you abide in my word, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. If is conditional. If you abide in my word, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Free to do what? Free to be me. God wants you to be you. Now think about this. If you abide in my word, you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. It takes obedience to what he's saying. Hear me? It takes obedience to what he's saying. Now, the principle, remember, if you're going to fulfill his purpose, it takes his principle. Wisdom is the principal thing. Proverbs 4:7. Wisdom is the principal thing. In all you're getting, get understanding. If you don't understand his principles, you can't carry his purpose. So we have to understand his principles. His wisdom is divine as well. It's not the world's wisdom. See, it's not man's wisdom. God's wisdom is different than man's wisdom. So we need to understand his principles. Pay attention. If we're going to receive direction, we need to be paying attention to God. Amen? If we're going to reach our destiny, we must pay attention. So now look. Direction, not intention, determines destination. You know, my dad was raised in Virginia, and we used to go down there a lot when I was a kid, and I've taken Donita down there and Olivia and met all my folks down there. A lot of, something you hear them say a lot down there is, bless their heart. Bless their little heart. You know, that's nice. But you know, a lot of times they're saying it because they ended up somewhere they didn't want to be. Bless their heart. They're good people. They had good intentions. They just didn't have the right direction. Are we making sense? Bless your heart. I like that, but you know, they're nice people. Direction, not intention, determines destination. Good intentions will get you nowhere. See, you just intended, but you didn't follow through. If I get directions to go to Michigan, and I get in the car and I go out, go to 75, I can go left or I can go right. If I go left, I'm headed towards Florida. Right? The directions matter, don't they? If I go left, I'm going to Florida. But now I wanted to go to Michigan. Are you getting my point? You won't end up in your destiny without direction. God is trying to direct us. Doesn't matter how sincere you are. You can be sincerely wrong. You glad you came to church today? God has promised his people higher quality of life, a way of life for those he loves to live his way. And I'm going to tell you, joy is a part of it. The Bible says this in Psalms chapter 1. You can actually put that up there. It says this. Pay attention again. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, for his delight is in the law of the Lord, the word of the Lord. His delight, his joy is in the law of the Lord, the word of the Lord. And in his law, his word, he meditates day and night. For he shall be like a tree planted in the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit from the seed. That brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither. See, the fruit that comes from his seed won't wither. The word wither means to fade away. Whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does will prosper. For the ungodly are not so, for they are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the day of judgment, nor sit in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. The way. See, if I'm going to go his way, it's going to be eternal. Now get a hold of this. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. This word blessed, a lot of people think, well, I'm blessed, they'll drive up in a new car. How you doing, man? Oh, I'm blessed. You know, shoot. What? You ever get around people, they want to make you think they're blessed. Right. Well, we just bought a new house and, you know, we paid cash. I'm blessed. You ever see that? You ever get around people that carry a lot of money? They like to show you. They like to show you, oh, I'm blessed. Blessed is not about income. Hear me. Blessed is not about income. Blessed is about influence. See, when you're blessed, you have influence in people's lives for his kingdom. God will test your income to see if he can trust you with his influence. God will test your income and what you do with it to see if he can trust you with his influence. If you're wasting your income, you will not have influence. Get a hold of this. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly. You see, you can't walk around dialoguing with negative thoughts about people.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness can save us.
You've been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church. We are located at 340 West Russell Road in Sydney, Ohio. Our service times are Saturday evenings at 5 p.m. and Sunday mornings at 9 and 11 a.m. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at russellroadchurch.com or Facebook by searching Russell Road Church, Sydney. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul, taken from 2 Corinthians 13:11. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you. Have a blessed week.